Kyle Mara, give me a name.
John F. Kennedy Jr.
Welcome to Give Me a Name, where a guest presents me, Ben Kirschenbaum, with a dead historical figure they find interesting, and we discuss. I urge listeners to write in on how good-looking they thought JFK Jr. was, on a scale from 10 to 11.
All right, I'm here with Kyle Mara to talk about JFK Jr., little John.
John, yes. Not what the family called him.
Right.
It's a media-only term.
Right. They never referred to him as John.
What was it?
Like a reporter once heard him repeat it or something like that?
I think it was like when his dad was getting buried and like the video of him saluting, the radio announcer would said John, little John, giving a salute to his dad type of thing. So I think that's where it spawned from.
So the salute, I mean, is that the most famous image of JFK Jr.? It's got to be, right?
Yes, because it's one of those things. I'll be honest, I recently found out who, I'm 6 months into JFK Jr. I did not know who this guy, I heard of him, but I didn't realize the story. In my mind, all like the Kennedy deaths are like mashed into one.
Okay, yeah,
Someone, I was with a friend and we were in Tribeca and we passed this restaurant. He goes, oh, that's JFK Jr.'s old favorite restaurant. Mm. So I was like, he lived in Tribeca? I had no idea. So that's why I've been going down this JFK Jr. rabbit hole.
What did your friend know his favorite restaurant?
My friend's like one of these, like New England, loves the Kennedys, has like a shirt from Instagram he bought with JFK and a boat on it type of thing.
Okay.
He's that guy. So he knows things about the guy. He's always the little fun little facts.
So that was the inspiration. Because, I mean, we got to say off the bat, Kennedys, maybe the most famous family in American history.
They're like American royalty, like you said in the text to me. But I always thought of him as our Princess Diana.
Okay.
JFK Jr.
So that's an interesting comparison in terms of the media hounding him.
Yes, that's part of my like the rabbit hole. That's what I'm really finding is like there's a lot of reading in between the lines with the stuff.
Right, because like even when I was like doing research for this, usually I mean his Wikipedia page is like pretty big and like there's stuff out there, but so much of it is People Magazine,
yes,
and you know E! News and all these other
things
where it's like that's who was obsessed with him.
Yeah, I mean, he was 1988's Sexiest Man Alive for People magazine. That's when it mattered. That's a huge deal. You know, that's like Playmate of the Year for men.
Playmate of the Year for men. I mean, yeah, probably, and I got to say, maybe the most deserved sexy. He is
a good-looking guy.
He's insanely good-looking.
Yes, absolutely.
I figured that was going to be at least like a 30-minute chunk of this episode.
No, I got to be honest. That's
the bone structure, the body.
His hair. Who was his barber?
His hair is insane.
I'm walking around Tribeca trying to find who.
I'm looking for one tiny bald spot. I mean, it's insane.
Well, all the Kennedys famously have just incredible, like Lego hair. It's just plopped on there.
Bobby's is the most realistic.
I'm trying to think, Bobby.
Bobby's is a little more.
Yes, it's. Like, you could see like the park go up a little bit here. It's not. Let's not speak ill of the dead, though. You know, it's.
I'm not insulting him. No, he did a lot of great things for civil rights. I'm just saying his hair was a little.
It's a little fucked up. No, we're gonna do speaking a lot of ill of the dead on this podcast. I feel like so.
They're all dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing, I also think the cool thing about studying JFK Jr. is the legacy of the family. Because by the time you get to him, it's, as you said, it's American royalty. From the second that he salutes his dad when he's three.
Three, yeah. I think it's his third birthday is the day that he...
I think the burial is... Yeah, exactly. Burial is his third birthday.
Mm.
And they go ahead and have his birthday party as planned because they're like, we gotta... That's the other thing with the Kennedys. Like, they... All this tragedy, but I guess it's just the ethos of the family that you gotta like move on and like keep a stiff upper lip and all this
Right. This is a very random aside.
Yeah, please.
Not JFK, not Kennedy related, but presidential burial related.
Okay.
I went to the Museum of Natural History recently. And there's obviously like, there's a big thing on Roosevelt there.
Yeah.
Because he's
I was
like,
about to say, is that where Teddy Roosevelt is buried?
No.
Underneath the planetarium.
But he lived just outside Washington Square Park growing up and like one of the townhouses that now NYU owns.
Right.
And there's a picture of the Lincoln burial
with
the Roosevelt household in the background. And you see Teddy Roosevelt in the window, like peering out type of thing.
That's great.
And this whole idea of like parading. Well, Lincoln's a bit different because like very important president, but they paraded his body all around the country.
And Jackie Kennedy tried to mimic that when JFK died.
Oh, like really?
The exact sort of parading around. And then the other thing I saw when Bobby Kennedy died, it was the train ride to Washington, D.C. with the body was really moving videos of, like, everyone along the train tracks during this miles and miles long journey, like, waving and crying and with signs being like, we love you, RFK, and all that stuff.
I think there's a clip of that in one of, like, the biography. Obviously, you watch any biography on the Kennedys, they're going to mention this, the bodies laid behind. Like,
yeah, sure.
So there's a clip of, like, the Bobby Kennedy processional, whatever you want to call it. So I've seen that footage, yeah. Very interesting thing they do. I don't really...
And even when JFK Jr. died, like, I think it was mainly outside of his apartment where the flowers and the whole... I mean, the country was totally mourning.
It looked like similar to, like, 9/11 memorials where people in the city are just, like, stacking photos and flowers all over the place. So he was absolutely beloved. And that's why I feel like that's why I make the Princess Di comparison, because it's just before, like, my memory of, like, people in the media. Like, she's the first public figure I was ever aware of that wasn't Bill Clinton or a celebrity.
Or Monica Lewinsky.
Or Monica Lewinsky, yeah, exactly. I knew who she was. That's fair. Sorry, Princess Di. You got beat out by some whore. Anyway, just kidding. And, like, I don't know if you remember this, but, like, late 90s, I felt like the kids of Princess Diana, like, they were doing news stories on what Harry was getting for Christmas in 1998.
Right.
And it's like, we don't do anything like that now, but they were almost... They kind of were doing similar things
He was getting a Nazi Halloween uniform. It's actually his Christmas gift.
Yeah, they buried that part. It was about a PlayStation 1, but they really want to talk about the Nazi helmet he was getting.
I mean, it's like every little thing. And when JFK Jr. flunks his bar exam.
Twice. Yeah.
And then the New York Post headline, or maybe Daily News, where it's like, hunk flunks. Yeah. They're so good. I mean, they're so good.
Legendary. That's why I say there's a lot of, like, you know, you watch this stuff, and like anything you watch on JFK Jr., there's almost kind of like a jab at him that he's a dumbass. There's always that in there. But, like, if you take a step back, you kind of realize he's smart enough to, like, A, not get into politics, and B, just, like, live like a private, reserved life. He's not like some, like, he doesn't want to be in the media spotlight. I'm not going to say at all, but, like, he's smart enough to know, like, when to play his hand type of thing. But if you watch any instance in his life, they try to make him seem, they make him seem dumb, or they make him, they hated his wife.
Hated his wife.
Truly. Yeah,
because she wasn't, I guess, game for the publicity.
No
human being would have been, like, this level of publicity.
Right.
She loved her. She clearly, I mean, my interpretation was that she fell in love with JFK Jr., mm-hmm. which makes a lot of sense. And then she was like, oh my God, this is like, this life is miserable.
Absolutely. That's why she took 3 weeks to accept the marriage proposal.
Yeah.
Which is, I'd never heard that before. I feel like that, if after like one day I'm like, are we doing this?
Yeah, it's very painful.
The return policy on the ring is up in 48 hours.
Oh, that's grueling what you do. Yeah.
But did you see anything though? There's a whole great thing on like their wedding, but did you see any reports about the plane crash in her? Yeah. Like the media almost makes it seem like she forced him to fly the plane. There's this like NBC or CBS report of being like, you know, Junior didn't want to fly that night, but his wife insisted. She made him drop her sister off at Martha's Vineyard. He didn't want to do it. He knew it was dangerous. Like pretty much like everything but saying it was her fault, which is crazy, but...
Which is blatantly wrong.
Blatantly wrong, yeah.
I mean, just to jump ahead to the end of the story, JFK Jr., I mean, there's like a million conspiracy theories about this and revisiting it, but I think the official story of the plane crash is that he had gotten his pilot's license pretty recently.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't really qualified to fly during those weather conditions.
Yeah, and at night, period. I think it was like weather and night combined. Terrible idea for him.
And he got disoriented. I think he also took the route over the water because it was the fastest, but also more dangerous.
It was like a report, like it was from like 2002 or 2003, some like news clipping they put like a 3-minute clip on YouTube of. They pretty much say he like just wasn't paying attention. And... You say disoriented. What do you mean by disoriented? Because I think there's different accounts.
Well, I think that there were. I think some of it was disoriented just based off the spatial whatever, that it's like literally disoriented.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have a million reports where it's like he was distracted because his magazine was failing, and because his marriage was in trouble, and that his best friend and cousin was dying, and like all this different.
His wife nagging him in the back because she's the worst, guys. Come on.
His sister-in-law. I mean, yeah.
Martha's Vineyard, come on. I saw a bunch of that too, but. What I thought was the most, like, legitimate of all, because there's, like, obviously so many different takes. Like I said, they kind of make him seem dumb. One guy was like, yeah, he was looking out a window and just turned with the steering of the plane as he was looking, like not keeping it straight.
Oh,
and
my God.
And that's when like a gust of wind just down toward him type, like put him down toward the ground type of thing.
Dude, like literally just like turned it.
Turned it and then just like wasn't paying attention. That's what I say most legit, but like anything with a little distance, because like the initial reports the earlier the reports, it just seemed kind of like, we don't know what's going on. We don't have they had like one of those graphics where, because there was zero problems with the plane. Mm-hmm. I think this is a great place to jump off into the conspiracy theory.
I don't know too much about the conspiracy theories.
Well, there's really just one.
Other than the more of sort of QAnon one that he's still alive.
But there's the QAnon one attaches to this plane crash.
Okay.
So Clinton went hard trying to find him.
Yeah, and people were pissed off how hard he went. Because it was like, well, you would never send out the, right. like, the Navy or like something. Well, it was mainly Coast Guard.
It was Coast Guard, yeah.
Yeah, so like you would never do this for any regular citizen, of course you wouldn't. But
no, and he goes on and he apologizes saying everything you just said, but like I felt the need because of who his father was and how much tragedy the family has gone through. So he openly addresses it and takes the brunt of it. And I say this relates to the QAnon conspiracy. Well, if you don't, I'll tell you now. The QAnon conspiracy, for the people listening, is they think JFK Jr. is set to return and run with Donald Trump in 2024.
As the VP?
As the VP.
Okay.
He was supposed to in 2020, but didn't show up, obviously. But they think that the Clintons actually killed. They were the ones that messed the plane up. Because they heard JFK Jr. was going to run for Senate in the seat that Hillary was going to take.
Right. So it's actually blatantly not true. He was already not doing that. Yeah.
But
I'm poking holes in this early.
You're right. These people don't read. They have like, I feel like QAnon is just like someone on Wikipedia making up, like changing people's profiles, sending it to people and being like, it's fact, right? Yeah. And then that's how it just spreads. So they say that he was going to run for Hillary's seat, and that the reason Bill went so hard in the cover-up was to be like, make sure there was no evidence that he was involved.
Oh, so they're not actually looking for the body. They're like trying to
make sure no one finds it. Well, even though they found it eventually, but like they're just, of course, just trying to make connections wherever they can. You know, the Clintons are involved. Of course, there was foul play.
Also an interesting theory, because JFK Jr.'s whole family is Democrats. JFK Jr. So he starts his magazine.
You were talking about people that think Obama's a lizard.
I'm telling you they're wrong. I don't mean to make some controversial point here. I don't buy it.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess the Kennedys are the one Democrats that aren't lizards, so there's some infighting in between the Democratic Party.
Is that what it is? Okay, got it. I mean, in terms of JFK Jr.'s party, like you said, he stayed away from politics. Would he have joined it? Probably, because like every interview he does, he's like very coy when they ask him.
Right. It all seems like it's very much leading toward that. I'm not saying Hillary's seat, whatever year that was, 2000 or 2002, but it seemed like by 04, 06, he'd be running for something.
Yeah, I would believe that. I mean, the magazine he starts, George Magazine, is a political magazine.
Right.
I guess the idea behind it is it's like supposed to be like a Rolling Stone, but for politics, politics like fun,
sexy,
and
or whatever. Yeah. But I don't get. I know he's like age wise, he's not a millennial, but he seems like a millennial in some things he does. Starting a magazine in the late 90s, that seems like you're trying to start like a massive YouTube channel in like 2016 or something
that. Yeah, it's also like a big departure from what I mean. He was a assistant DA.
Right. Yeah. He hated being a lawyer. Didn't care for it at all. Got out very. You realize how quickly he got out of that track to become like a politician by his like he clearly didn't want to. I don't know. You don't know what he really wanted to do, but it just seemed like he left the law too early, in my opinion.
You think it was a mother pressuring him type thing?
Absolutely. I think he loved it. Well, I mean, his mom pressured him through law school, I feel like. And even at Brown, he like was trying to study to become an actor. And she was
That's
just like,
right. Yeah, his passion for acting. I forgot about that.
And he had that TV show. What was this TV show about again? It was like a New York TV show about like...
One that he guest starred in?
No. He like had a show on TV.
Oh.
It was called... it doesn't matter. But
wait, he had a...
Yeah, I said he hosted a TV show about New York after leaving the DA in 1993. I forget what the show was about, but it was like a public access type show.
Okay, yeah.
And I have no idea if it was about politics or what, or just culture, but I don't know. He seemed like a guy, like he had his hands in a lot of things.
But I think that's also like part of the searching, right? Where it's just like this guy, so going into his childhood a little bit, JFK Jr., born after his father's elected, but before he's inaugurated.
Yes. He's the first baby in the White House since Grover Cleveland's kid in like 1893, I think it was. So yeah, he's like America's baby.
He's also adorable.
Have you seen the pictures? The black and whites?
Little Grover Jr. Grover Jr. I love that kid.
He's next episode, actually.
Yeah, he's the next, not Grover Jr. Yeah.
Vermont is going to come on and talk about Grover Jr. for you.
Yeah, you got to see some of those QAnon theories about Grover Cleveland.
It gets deep.
Jr.
It really
in.
Gets deep.
Yeah, if only. Yeah, and there's like the famous photos of him like underneath the desk and stuff.
Right,
like that,
right.
Which is cute.
It is. It kind of goes to like the point about like the Diana's kids, where just like the media is just kind of like not grasped, but the media was so different back then. That was a story. That like Jackie O went, Jackie Kennedy at the time, went on vacation and the kids were allowed to be in front of the camera. Did you catch anything about that? She hated the paparazzi too, did not want her kids on camera at all. So all those photos you see are of when she's away for like a retreat type of thing.
Because JFK is like, this is good.
Absolutely.
This is,
yeah.
This is good for my image.
She thinks,
of course it is.
Yes, absolutely. I didn't even think about that. You think that's sort of like a Marilyn Monroe type thing, like he's getting bad press, so like let's get some good press with the kids type of thing.
Yeah, I'm a family guy. Maybe it's some of that. Maybe it's like I'm cheating on right. with every single human being, so why don't...
Here's my kids chewing gum underneath the Oval Office desk. But she thanked him for those photos later because they are like iconic, obviously.
And she's part of it too. I mean, she's the one that tells him to salute, or it looks like that, where she's like whispers to him before
he
really?
Salutes.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that's what she said.
Oh, interesting. The only thing I have on the salute, really, I didn't catch that, but apparently he learned it in a play.
Oh, okay.
3-year-old in the play, though, kind of threw me. It's the same guy that calls him John John. It's like, he learned the salute with the play with
play,
the...
I guess it was like a little play. It was like little, a Peter Pan or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think he played, you know, Death of a Salesman.
Yeah. He didn't give a big monologue at the end, you know?
So after JFK is shot, Jackie Kennedy, they move to New York. They don't stay in D.C., not right away, but they eventually move. Mm-hmm. And then when Bobby Kennedy is shot, Jackie Kennedy's like, they're killing Kennedys. Like, my kid is next.
She goes, no more Hyannisport. We're not doing this.
She marries Aristotle Onassis, who's just this really rich Greek guy.
Right.
And she kind of just like brings the family to these fancy Greek islands for a while before they eventually return to the United States.
Did they live there or just like vacation?
I think I think they're there a lot.
They're there a lot,
just part of the overall thing of like, let's get away from this.
Right. That part of like the research on the Kennedys itself, first of all, you see Onassis and Jacqueline together. It does not look like, you never see them holding hands. You never see him hugging. It's always like, not he's in a wheelchair, but they're just like, he's like this sickly kind of old guy with a nice white scarf. And she's this very pretty woman with two kids behind him. They don't seem like a couple at all.
It's got to be, I think, partly because of how well he was insanely wealthy. Like,
right.
In the world. And I think that it seems like a lot of it was, they knew each other actually while she was still married to JFK.
Oh, okay.
But probably no affair.
Yeah. No, that's JFK's bag. He's taking care of that. But that's sort of where my interest in the Kennedys began.
Right.
Was because I, out of college.
With Aristotle Onassis. No,
yeah, he, linchpin. with Jackie living in the city, being like a New York City socialite.
Yes.
Because I used to work for this like super high-end moving company. And it was like a lot of Upper East Side, just like famous buildings and like insane townhouses. And this one building, forget the address, but it was the building that she was raised in. Mm-hmm. And it was like the buildings, it skyrocketed prices in the building. And we actually moved into the apartment, not hers recently, but was the one she lived in. It was a big deal. And at the time, I'm saying Jackie Onassis. And at the time, I didn't realize it was Jackie Kennedy. And I was just like, who the fuck gives a shit about this Jacqueline Onassis woman? And I looked it up later, and I was like, oh, that was kind of a big deal that was Jacqueline Kennedy's home. But that's where, like, my interest in the Kennedys started was with Jackie, not Aristotle. Also, too, you know, I thought I knew, you think you know a lot about these people. The more you dig, there's always, like, these little things. I had no idea in the media she was Jacqueline Bouvier for, you hear that, you're like, like, what the fuck? What did I miss this time? I didn't realize she was... You don't think of her as someone before Jacqueline Kennedy.
Yeah,
you know?
And a really impressive person before.
Absolutely,
I mean,
yeah.
Also, like, blue blood type thing. Mm-hmm. Her dad sounded like... I mean, she, like, loved her dad and was close to her dad, but then he was also, like, a big philanderer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They call it, like, Blackjack, I think his name was. Yeah, Blackjack Bouvier or something like that.
So you can kind of see maybe the... I mean, not to be, you know, such a... therapist, psychologist, but like you can see maybe planting the seed for being married to a big philanderer type guy.
Oh, okay. I see that. Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. Because I will say, if you look up Jacqueline Kennedy's dad, they almost like write him up to be like the Wolf of Wall Street of 1934. It's, he's like that guy. And from all accounts, you know, Kennedy's like a good time party guy off camera. So, yeah, absolutely. That definitely tracks with
and
those.
And then Jackie, before she meets JFK, is like an aspiring photographer / journalist.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And like graduated from GW. Like a very impressive person.
With her, I was curious. I know you're like a New York City guy. She went to what, the Chapin School? Is that still a big deal?
Yeah, Chapin, which is one of the all-girls private schools. Yeah, absolutely.
Gotcha. Is it Catholic?
Maybe it was. I don't know if it is anymore. Or like maybe it like historically is, but now they allow other religions, I think.
Okay, gotcha.
But she was definitely Catholic, which was
a big deal,
especially because... Some of Joe Kennedy's other kids didn't marry Catholics, and that was a big deal.
Right, and that's sort of why the second part of my interest in the Kennedys comes about in my family business. So my dad, he came here in 65.
Okay, came here...
from Croatia.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
So, but in my family business, since like day one of operating, there is a portrait of JFK, and it didn't dawn on me until like I was older, I was like... You were never in this country when JFK was alive. Why is there a poster? Why is there, you know, his portrait in the business? And they're like, my grandpa, he is what you came to this country to be. Like, he was like the poster child of like what you think of American is and what you want to be when you get here type of thing. So he was like a vision board of sorts.
Interesting. I think also maybe part of that is that Joe Kennedy, the patriarch, had 9 kids and... Joe Kennedy's history is, I mean, he was a complicated...
there's a lot going on there.
But maybe part of the idea from, like, the perspective of a grandfather is, like, Joe Kennedy sort of, like, manifested this...
Oh, wow. Now you're getting therapy, Mr. Therapist on me.
This is good.
What I mean? Absolutely,
like, he created, like, it was his... He realized that he was never going to be president, partly because he appeased... he was really into appeasement. And that became unpopular. But then he's like, all right, my oldest son, he's going to be the president. Then he dies in war. So it goes on to JFK and so on and so on. But
there's definitely a lot of that going in my family with my brother and her sister. Because, like, she's, like, the oldest, but he's definitely the golden child type of thing of that. There's only 2 of them, but I get what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
You're saying your brother and sister.
No, my dad. Like, as far as, like, my grandpa
and
my dad coming here, he was definitely the one that, like, he was pushing to be. You're going to be JFK type of thing, even though you weren't born in this country and you can't be president. But
that makes total sense because, and even though Joe Kennedy wasn't an immigrant, like you'd only have to go back a couple generations from coming over from Ireland with absolutely nothing.
Right.
So yeah, they are. I mean, they are kind of the American dream in the sense that they, if you go far back enough, came from absolutely nothing.
Literally
moved here because of the potato famine.
Right. Right.
And then
bootleggers. Veterans, politicians. It's a very quick upswing for them, I feel like.
Yeah. And then I was watching this, it was like a 6-part documentary. I didn't watch all of them, but on the Kennedys on CNN.
Okay.
And they're talking about like the next generation of Kennedys, and they're like, well, they haven't given up yet. And there is like a guy in Congress, I think. Like,
I think it's Ted's kid. He's like 30 something like that.
And then RFK Jr. running for president.
Yeah.
All of this was to the reason why you chose him is because you'd like to make an endorsement.
Right? Yes. Yeah. RFK Jr. 2024 and 2028 while we're at it. You know, let's just get ahead of the curve. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Let's kill 2 birds.
But speaking of, I want to bring this up earlier with JFK Jr. and the whole QAnon thing. Who knows when he would have got into politics, but if he did in the early 2000s, that's a real potential sliding door moments with no Barack Obama 2008.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If he's, you know, if he's...
He's the young gun.
Yeah, he's the young gun with the legacy. He's probably running in 08 or 2012 at least.
Was that a reference to the Gwyneth Paltrow movie Sliding Doors, or is that an expression?
It's an expression I'm pretty sure is from that movie.
Okay.
No, there's... I listen to the Rewatchables, and they're always saying Sliding Doors with, like, casting.
Oh.
So it's like...
I wonder if it... Does that come from the movie? Or the
I'm
other
curious
way
it is. I just honestly... It seemed like such an appropriate term. I've been
you
using
know, it's
it,
perfect. Yeah.
I've been using it for other things, so I hope... But I think people haven't been... people are like, I like that. So it's been... I'm curious now if that's the genesis of it, that movie.
It's a good movie.
What's it about? I have no idea.
Oh, Sliding Doors. All right, well, now we're getting off the rails. But Sliding Doors is a romantic comedy with Gwyneth Paltrow where it's kind of butterfly effect movie. If basically if she gets into the elevator... I think into the elevator on time, then she catches her boyfriend cheating on her, and that leads down one path.
Okay.
And if she doesn't get into the elevator on time, then she goes down another path of life.
This is 100% the reference they're making.
You got to see this movie.
I gotta go watch it. Because I've been using it a lot. Because it's really... I just think of it as like two sliding doors, like one could be in front, one could be in back type of thing. That's why I'm like physically as like replaceable, you know?
Right. Maybe it is already an expression. I'm not sure.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I just took it too literally. But but yeah, no Barack if potentially JFK Jr. is around type of thing.
It's possible. I mean, he kind of a similarity between him and Obama is that, and I guess it's true for a lot of politicians, it was at a speech that he makes during the Democratic convention
in 88, right? Yeah,
that puts him on the map, or at least that is like, I mean, he's already on the map because he's Kennedy, but it's like he introduces Ted Kennedy in the 1988 Democratic convention. Michael Dukakis eventually would become the nominee, and then after that 5-minute speech, you could watch it on YouTube. He's charismatic and he's pretty good, and they're like, oh, this is going to be the next guy.
He plays the part well. One last thing on the Kennedy interest.
Yes, please.
What are your thoughts on the Shrivers? Anything like, do you know anything about them? Or
I know very little about the Shrivers other than Schwarzenegger.
So I'm sure they'd love to hear that. So JFK's sister Eunice marries Sergeant Shriver,
right.
And these two they're like the ones who create like the Special Olympics and a lot of just awareness and like help for special needs people. And the Shrivers themselves, they have a bunch of kids like the Kennedys, and they definitely live off the fame of being Kennedy adjacent. And my college graduation commencement was done by Mark Shriver. And this is actually the first time I was interested in the Kennedys, because he gave this like, it was a very nice speech. You can watch it on YouTube, 2014 Loyola commencement. But he starts it off being like, you know, Father Brown, he called me up. And it was a real honor to give you guys, you know, just typical pandering.
Yeah.
But so I called up, I started calling my cousins and my siblings. And turns out I was like the ninth call because there's so many of us type of thing.
Yeah.
And he goes through this whole story. And I was like, that's a good story. At the time, I wasn't doing comedy, but I later found out I saw him giving the same exact speech to like a Hibernian association on St. Patrick's Day. And I was like, this piece of shit. They wouldn't know.
He's just repeating material.
He's a politician repeating material. And I want the new.
Or maybe it's true. Maybe every time he gives a speech, they ask nine people.
Right.
It's not that unlikely.
Yeah, it's probably, it's true. That's what it is. That's where like it starts. And like 6 months later, I have the moving thing where it's Jackie O's apartment. And then a year later, I had the realization with the Kennedy JFK poster. And then since then, like whenever like a Chappaquiddick, saw it the first day it came out, even though I fell asleep in the theaters, it was awful.
They made a movie of the Chappaquiddick.
It was rough. And but did you see Oppenheimer?
I haven't seen it yet. Although the previous episode, or not previous, by the time this comes out, but one we did an episode with Tobin Miller on Oppenheimer.
In Oppenheimer, I'm not giving anything away, but they have, what's the actor from The Americans? He was really hot and like
Reese.
Yes.
Yeah.
He plays Ted Kennedy in Chappaquiddick.
Okay.
And
I thought you were gonna say an Oppenheimer.
No. But in Oppenheimer, he plays like a guy from like a senator.
Okay.
And you just don't, at no point do they give you any years. Like, you know when it's 1945, but every other scene in Oppenheimer, you're like, if you don't know the history, you're like,
could be any
time. Are we in the 60s or 70s? What's going on? And you see this guy, and this whole time I'm watching this movie, I'm like, is he playing Ted Kennedy again? What's going on right now? And then they finally reveal who he's playing. It's not, I'm not giving it away, but it's very confusing seeing him in both roles look exactly the same. Like, same haircut, same look, like, just he's the same guy, obviously, but it's a 60s, 70s politician. They all, you know, same suit.
Yeah, they all totally look alike. But was he doing the Kennedy accent?
Kind of, not, like, he just was, like, he wasn't, like, hamming it up, but it was very, like, it was very firm, authoritative, which is how he plays it in Chappaquiddick. Yeah, so I just, whenever, like, there's, like, a new, something about the Kennedys, I seem to gravitate toward it, and I just,
It is just, like, a fascinating history. First of all, like, in terms of what they're, you know, actually contributing to, JFK was only president for 3 years, but, space race and Cuban Missile Crisis and
Bay
of Pigs. I mean, a lot of big events happened during his presidency.
There's tons of, like, time. I feel this is slowly turning into an RFK Jr. endorsement, but there's a lot of, you realize how, like, anti-military industrial complex JFK was when you go back and do any research on the Kennedys. Like, he's very, like, he would hate what's going on right now. I think that's part of why RFK is getting a lot of the steam he's getting, because people are also kind of fed up with where the world's at, at least the U.S., with spending millions of dollars on wars and stuff. This is not funny at all. I don't know why I'm talking about this.
No, it doesn't have to be funny. It's hard to know how the legacy, I guess they are all Democrats. Like, that's kind of what they all have in common all the way back to Joe.
Right.
But
the Democratic Party changes.
But they're all individuals too, where it's just like,
they definitely all have their own free thinking ideas, but it also just like, from what I've heard, it all kind of stems back to, like, they're all kind of philanthropist politicians as opposed to, like, lining your pockets politicians.
Right.
I mean, you say that to someone, they may go, like, that's what they want you to think, type of thing. But, like, they all kind of have, the Shrivers, they're all about helping special needs kids. RFK cleaned a river before he started saying crazy things about vaccines. You know, JFK's whole thing was, like, he wants Americans to be seen as people with shovels working for the Peace Corps, not rifles shooting people in Vietnam. Like, it's all, they generally seem like good people. That's why bad things happen to them. Ultimately.
Yeah. I mean, other than the fact that one of them drove up and killed the crowd.
That's why I denounced Chappaquiddick. Totally. Awful movie.
Yeah. Terrible story, and yet not even a good enough story to make a good movie. I mean, there's no positive.
Exactly. Exactly.
I agree with the sentiment. I think that there's also kind of going back to the legacy thing where it's like Joe Kennedy, I think himself said, I'm going to make a shitload of money. So that my kids can give back. Like, that was kind of the, like, almost the whole idea.
It was. I thought he was just, like, a businessman type of thing.
He was a businessman and an anti-Semite, all sorts of things. But he was a Renaissance man.
It's funny you bring up the anti-Semitism, because whenever he's in movies now, whenever they do, like, a Kennedy in a movie, they really play up the whole, like, him being an invalid, just, like, in a chair in a mansion in Florida, just, like, God damn. Like, there's the most recent thing I saw he was in, not him, but like someone playing him, they really make him seem just like a vegetable.
Because I think that, because it's like people like that, that's like justice.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, obviously we know who runs the movies and the media. So they're trying to sneak it in wherever they can.
Well, partly it was him. He was in Hollywood.
Right. Exactly.
That's where he got to meet so many Jews.
That's where it all started, you know?
Yeah, I see that kind of, that he has been, I think pretty commonly seen as a
not a good guy. Villain.
And actually the family, I mean, kind of went the opposite direction in a lot of ways with the feelings towards Jews. I mean, RFK just had some controversial statements about Jews and COVID. But Bobby Kennedy, I mean, gave a pro-Israel speech and then was shot by Sirhan Sirhan, a Palestinian. So
I did not real. I thought it was.
Which is like a weird thing, considering that Joe Kennedy was his dad. I don't know.
Did he give that speech at, it was like the 68 convention?
No, it's a little bit before that.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that would have been weird if he got up there. Yeah, I was like, wait. Winning California and was just like, there's just one thing I want to say.
Yeah.
And just gave a speech about Israel.
Israel's great and we're going to Rhode Island. That's what we're doing. Yeah.
now on to Chicago and then get shot in the, oh man. It is so many sad things with that family. And so, when you read more about it, it's like, so RFK and JFK, Chappaquiddick and JFK Jr. That's already four huge things that everyone knows.
Yeah, within, 7-8 years? It's crazy.
Well, not JFK Jr., but yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
JFK. Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry.
Well, Chappaquiddick and RFK, that's the same year, or like within
I think
almost a year apart.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. From like 63 to 70, it's a rough decade for the Kennedys.
But also, Joe Kennedy Jr., the oldest son, who's supposed to be the president,
right, right,
dies in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kick Kennedy, another one of the daughters, dies very, very young.
Oh, really?
Rosemary Kennedy, the lobotomized. Which, I mean, it's insane.
I got to watch the CNN thing. And I think before JFK Jr.'s older sister,
yeah,
I think there was like one or two miscarriages. So they're just...
Yeah, it's stillborn babies. Yeah. I
right.
mean, it's a rough, rough history. And I read one thing where it's like, I'm not saying that there's actually a curse, but where they're like, oh, yeah, big family, like you're bound to have this, like stuff like this. It's like, no, you're not. Like, this
right,
is a
yeah.
lot of stuff.
This has gone too far. Yeah, yeah.
But going back to JFK Jr., and I, you know, I had a feeling that a story of JFK Jr. also is a podcast, and JFK Jr. is also largely a podcast on the whole family.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I agree with you that he's like painted as an idiot. If you watch YouTube, there's one YouTube video of him on Jay Leno,
mm-hmm.
and he's very charismatic. Like he's pretty good.
That's where like nowadays every celebrity and social media, like socialite, they are heavily invested in writing their own narrative. He's in the era where, like, he wasn't, so anything said about him now, it's very just, like, thank God for clips like that, because he's able to show these people wrong. But, like, if you watch this, there's this, it's called, like, The Lost Tapes. It's about his secret wedding in Georgia.
Yeah.
And there's just, like, subtle jabs from his friends throughout. Like, his one friend likes to make the, like, remind everyone that he used to wear a chain wallet, because he would always lose. And to think of a Kennedy... or anyone with a suit wearing a chain wallet is absolutely hysterical. But at one point, like he puts his jacket up and you see it. It's going into. It was the first time I saw a chain wallet go into white jeans. It was so like there's just like little jabs like that throughout, where like people they like to mention that he had to transfer schools so he didn't have to repeat second grade. They like to mention the I have a list
the
of
bar,
things.
The bar exam
failing
sure.
it twice. What's the other? He was giving his wedding speech.
Right.
And he forgot the day. It was like the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah.
And he like, was on like a Saturday. And he said, when I get married on Friday.
Okay.
And everyone starts laughing. And then his friend's just like, the guy couldn't even remember the day he was getting married. It was, it's like.
I just got married. It's all a blur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're doing
ask me now what day of the week I got married. I have no idea. And it was
right.
like a week ago. Yeah.
And so like everyone, it's just like, it's interesting seeing a narrative being written about someone so popular.
Yeah.
Just by people that are also you could kind of tell his friends are like a little jealous.
Of course.
Because he's just like he's like the hottest, richest, most popular guy in the world. If anything, they're I mean, I'm not saying I'm any better. I'd probably do the same shit. I probably would throw a jab. But collectively, if you see it, you kind of feel bad for the guy because he obviously was trying to do the right things in life. But collectively, he looks like a jackass.
It's one of those weird things where he's the ultimate target for comedy.
Right.
But he didn't choose any of the reasons why he's the ultimate target.
Exactly.
He didn't choose to be a Kennedy. He didn't choose to be good looking.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, it's like, and actually the choices he made were, other than starting a public magazine, were actually like pretty wanting to just be a regular guy.
Right. This is a random tangent, but I remember this, speaking of target of comedy, I was like, I first started when Trump was like running for the for the first time in 2016. And I was taking like a UCB like sketch writing class. And someone came in with like a bunch of jokes about what's like the Trump's youngest son?
Barron. Yeah.
He was like the punching bag that week for the media. And someone wrote like a bunch of Barron Trump jokes. And the teacher got mad. And this is like for a UCB teacher to defend anyone and anything Trump related. It was insane.
Yeah, sure.
But he was like, you got to realize that kid, he shouldn't be a punching bag. It's hacked to make him a punching bag because he has nothing to do with why he's being made fun of. He's just a son of someone. You can't like, you're just being an asshole right now.
Totally.
And it was just like, it was just an interesting thing to hear and just, you know.
Yeah. My one caveat to that would be if it's a good joke.
Yeah. Oh, no. Some of them were good. Most of them were just like calling him autistic, which is a very just mean thing to say about an 8-year-old. But, agreed. Yeah. If it's good enough. Anyway.
Oh, well, one thing I will say in terms of him being a target, not that this means that he deserves to be the butt of a joke, but does date celebrities.
Oh, crushes it. Yeah. Well, there's also so much hearsay, it almost seems like. It's like, you can look up, the list could be 20 people long or just like the four big names.
Right.
But apparently Madonna made a big move for him in the 80s on her come up. And she, it almost seems like she did it as like almost like her PR person was like, publicly go after JFK Jr.
Kind of brilliant.
Absolutely, yeah.
Especially because if like she's framing herself as like the bad girl type thing,
yeah,
I'm gonna kind of corrupt.
Yes, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The apple of everyone's eye kind of thing.
Absolutely. And then he goes with what's her face, Daryl Hannah.
Daryl Hannah,
who is like the epitome of like, I personally don't, she's not my type, but like the epitome of 80s hot. Like
yes.
She's in Wall Street. She has a shoulder pad. She has the platinum blonde hair.
Yes,
she's like what. The life you wanted to live in the 80s, that's the woman you wanted on your side. And then he apparently also got with Sarah Jessica Parker and Sydney Crawford. But I think the Sydney Crawford thing is kind of bullshit.
Well, she was on the cover of
the first magazine,
right?
I think that's more just like hearsay of them being like, something happened. That's why she got the gig type of thing. But I don't think that's... He was already married by that point, I believe.
Are we missing any big ones? I feel like... Well, there's a Seinfeld episode, right? But that's just... Elaine masturbating in the contest. That's different. The only other thing I will say, my parents have a somewhat personal story about JFK Jr. I don't mean personal in that it's like sensitive. I mean personal that they met him.
Oh, I thought it'd be like a gripe. Like,
no gripe with JFK Jr. I'm going to botch. Well, basically, the gist of the story is that they were at Sarah Beth's, that like kind of breakfasty place.
Mm-hmm.
JFK Jr. was there sitting near them with someone. And had a big breakfast, and then apparently went to the bathroom and presumably just took a huge shit. and then came back and had like a second course of breakfast.
No.
So this is a real person. This is a real...
Your dad's living. Like, I saw his shoes under the stall, and I saw him outside again. This...
That was the big thing. Then when he died tragically in 1999, they were watching the TV, and my dad was like, was that the guy who took a dump at the...
He had a second helping of eggs at Sarah Beth's. Yeah.
I think he had like an insane amount of food.
I'm not a breakfast person, so anyone that eats one breakfast blows my mind. Two breakfasts.
Listen, whatever the guy was eating was working. I mean.
Yeah. Who am I to judge? Sexiest Man Alive, 1988.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me.
JFK Jr., just a couple of... dark-haired, handsome guys talking about the GOAT.
Our hero. Our hero. Category. I didn't stop sweating this whole time. That's how hot this conversation got me.
All right, man. Thank you. Oh, anything to plug?
Oh, okay. You know what? Actually, please subscribe to my YouTube channel. I'm putting out like a document. There's a couple short films there you could check out now, but I'm putting out a short documentary I put together in the fall. So get ahead of the curve. Subscribe now.
Awesome. Kyle Mara on YouTube.
Yes, Kyle Mara on YouTube, yes. All right, thanks for having me.